Welcome to 2024!
Woohoo! We made it!
It's another year.
It's true.
Another year underway.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what though, have you seen, there's a new, I'm assuming people spend time on Zoom. I spend probably too much time on Zoom. I'm sorry. So other, you might be on Teams. We're all doing some kind of online interaction, I think, in general, in some part of our lives. But anyway, there's this new function on Zoom where if you hold both thumbs up and you just like hold that stance for a minute.
But wait, how is it doing it? Because we're not on Zoom right now.
I don't know. But like, I mean, I wish the listeners could see, like I have got things going off behind me, fireworks going off behind me.
Fireworks, like you'd see at New Year's celebrations.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. So I'm liking the way the tech's evolving, that it's not just you put your thumb up, but you can do two thumbs up and then suddenly fireworks go off behind you. Anyway, Happy New Year, folks. Lovely to be with you. We're going to give you a little lowdown on what's cooking at the outside for 2024. We're going to reflect a little bit on our Changing Community series. And then we're going to...
Which was awesome.
Which was unbelievably amazing. I mean, I can't believe the people we've got on the pod this year. Anyway, and then we're going to intro Changing Planet, which is the kind of next series of three interviews we've got coming up. Tuesday's sitting there. She's looking all peaceful. She's like meditative, sipping a cup of tea. What you got, mate? What's going on?
Well, obviously a very, an image that does not connect with how I am inside. If that,
oh, really?
If I look very right. peaceful and meditative, I am sipping tea. That's true. But I don't right. know. I don't necessarily feel pretty peaceful, meditative. I did want to ask you about New Year's resolutions, however.
New Year's resolutions? I don't really believe in them.
I know. That's what I wanted you to talk about.
I mean, I just think like, what do I think about them? I mean, I think like, I just feel like a resolution that's built around the new year is driven by an external circumstance rather than an internal circumstance. Mm-hmm. And my experience of resolutions or commitments that are made around external circumstances that are really just to do with the calendar. It's not like need is forcing me because of the circumstance I'm in to change my behavior. It's just like, oh, right. Well, you know, it's actually Tuesday. Now it's Wednesday. And because it's Wednesday, I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to run more. I'm going to go down the... I feel like things like that are doomed to die from the word go. Like if you can't find, there's got to be something internal as a driver, I believe. And like the turning of the year, it's just not... I'm not sure that's a sufficient, you know, stimulus.
All right.
To create commitment. There you go. There you go. That's my philosophical stance on the New Year's resolutions for you right
I
now.
Love it. So we're going to just talk about this for a minute before we dive into the other stuff that's very important. But I feel like people like to hear us talk, maybe. Or, you know, if people don't like to hear us talk, they're probably not listening to the podcast. So
right.
I feel like I can really. Just say. Okay. So I don't make New Year's resolutions either. But I think it's a different reason. One is because there's something about resolution, like I'm gonna do this thing, that just feels completely inadequate in today's world and what I know about myself, right? Like it's just a little, it feels a little calcifying versus kind of like developmental. Ooh. So I know a lot of people
like there's a finish line.
Yeah. And like I'm gonna do this thing and like as if you know what that thing should absolutely be. So, you know, like some people set intentions, or Oprah was big on like having people do like a word of the year that kind of guided them. Like I'm cool with that. Absolutely. But what I wanted to ask you about, as you and I both do more climate work, as we are sinking more into ecology, is it actually arbitrary at the turn of the year? Because like, I mean, I know January 1st might be arbitrary, but like we are actually about to go through a solstice where like,
oh no,
like putting to bed what is waxing and waning, intending what you're going to bring to the light. That actually feels like really deeply in harmony with the change of the seasons. That could be something to... Yeah, anyway, just like going to ask you about that, because I was like, yeah, January 1st is like a date, but like turning of the seasons feels real.
I feel like this is like one of those things, like you and Jen and I had a conversation earlier today when you were like, oh my God, I know exactly what's going on in my body and how long it takes me to digest an apple, you know? and Jen and I were like, what? We have no idea. Like I just eat and then food comes out the other end and like, what? You know, like we just didn't have the kind of like body knowledge that you do, like the you know, and then you had a word for it, you know, that was, you know, subtly insulting. And then, and so I think it's a similar tuning in thing, you know. So I actually, in theory, have no doubt that the cycles I go through are deeply connected to the cycles of the planet and the environment and the ecology that is happening around me. Like, I have no doubt about that. But am I aware of that? No. But do I have a practice of being aware of my inner state and being responsive to it? 100% I do. 100% I do. So, you know, maybe I need to turn. But I spend a lot of time in nature and I take teachings from nature all the time, you know.
Absolutely.
But I'm actually not thinking deliberately about, oh, it's the winter, so this, or like, oh, the moon's changing, so this. I just like whatever the messages are, I receive them and just like trust that the timing's right.
Love it. Love it. Well, see, there we got a little nuanced. Exactly. I know this about you, right? Like I know that you're very deeply in tune with what's happening around you nature-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go through the same, I often go to the same spots all throughout various seasons, you know, because I build a relationship to certain places.
I find this amazing. You know, I go to my park or my woods several times a week. And like, I was just gone for 3 weeks and it was almost devastating to come back and see how much change there was. Like, you know what I mean? Because I was out of the rhythm of like being there several times a week and I came back and it was like this different forest.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, I know we're going to get to it, but can I tell you, yesterday in the forest, I saw an albino squirrel.
Wow, that's cool. Did it have red eyes?
Yes. I mean, it was full on albino, just like by the path. And I was like, good job getting through the summer, dude.
Okay, look, how much have you Googled albino squirrel sightings meaning?
Okay, I did. It's slightly different. I did. I did Google squirrel meaning, like spiritual meaning, but I didn't do albino. I should though.
Dude, you know, someone said to me once that, you know, it's a message when it's out of the ordinary, you know, so an owl swooping past your deck at dusk, going for a mouse, that's not a message. Right. That's just an owl hunting for food, you know, but if an owl were to land in the middle of the morning on your deck and look at you,
right,
there could well be a message in there that is somehow more subtle or more worth paying attention to. And I would say an albino squirrel greeting you in your forest realm, I would say that's like, you know, it's a message.
You're right. I got to go look it up. I think so.
There's an archetype in there somewhere. There's something going on.
It was delightful.
Ooh, I love that. There was something I was going to say, but I've been so blown away by albino squirrel sighting that I've just lost track completely of any thought. I love that.
It was pretty
awesome. You know what it was? I mean, I know we do have an agenda here, listeners, and we're going to get to it.
Yes.
We're highly disciplined. Jen has drilled me. We will get to it. So one of the places I go to in the woods here was I started going there just after there was a fire there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I mean, I'd always walk past this particular spot, but there'd been a fire there. So it's one of my favorite places to stop. I stop just off the path. There's a little knoll that rises up and then you can stand on it and you get a lovely view of the kind of the what's around you. And it's just been amazing to see it like slowly and surely regenerate itself. Mm. And you never it's not like you lose the scarring of a fire. There's still black charred, you know, but it's been, when I first started going there, you know, it was a real training in finding beauty. It was really cool. It was like this, one of my mentors in myth, you know, Martin Shaw, his whole thing is nature seeks to be admired.
Wow.
Right. Oh, nature seeks to be admired. And so it was a practice, like, you know, not even, but I just started going there and I've just been going ever since. It's years now.
Oh, that's great.
All right, look, we should probably talk about happy 2024. That was the first thing on our agenda that Jen gave us to make sure we cover off on the pod. Done. We talked about resolutions. That got us onto a whole like nature relationship thing and the cycles of the moon. It's been pretty fulfilling.
look, we're called The Outside. This is not really a tangent.
No, we're just outside the box all the time. So listen up. There's a few things coming up this year that I think are worth highlighting for you, because it's a pretty awesome, exciting year for the outside. So Tuesday is kicking off round two of the Transformation Workshop. Having done a launch or an experiment or a mini series, right? So you've got a mini series in the fall. Mm-hmm. We're now going ahead with what in this year? And it's going to be in the spring, right?
So there are two things. One is that we're going to run that mini series again in January, starting January 17th, because it was so amazing and so, and I don't say that because like I did amazing. I feel like it was so amazing. The women who joined it were so amazing. I learned so much and it just feels like, let's do it again. Let's just like turn around, do it again. Those of you who are female identified, you are welcome to join us. If something is transforming in you, we do 4 weeks. We provide a blueprint of kind of what transformation looks like. And you join a community of other really kick-ass women. I can't say enough about the women who joined last time. I'm anticipating, we've already had 2 signups this time and we haven't even launched it yet. So we haven't even put it out in the world. And people just gone to our website and signed up.
That's cool.
It is truly like one of my favorite things ever. And then that is going to, without any obligation, right? But I wanted to run this mini series twice because we'll be launching a smaller cohort in March, for March, April, May, 3 months.
Three months. Wow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yep. And so same idea, except that we'll go deeper. Like, how do you actually be with transformation? How do you kind of like sink into it? So the mini series kind of gives you a sense of it, gives you a sense of how we're going to work, the community we want to build, and it's meaningful. I mean, I can't tell you, people have made huge life changes just from the 4-week workshop. And then but if you want a little more support, want to dive in a little deeper, then we'll have that cohort March, April, May, starts March 6th. More information will be coming out after the first, any moment now. But the mini series is happening starting January 17th.
Great. So you'll see stuff in the pod notes, but you can also just go to the outside website and you can find us there. You can also go to the Facebook page, or we have a pretty wicked Instagram feed. So it's all over our shop. You can find us.
Yeah.
If not, and you need to find, if you can't find it in any way, you just email Jen at hello@findtheoutside.com, and amazing things happen whenever you email Jen, I find. So
yes.
Do it. Yes.
Yeah. Great. Absolutely.
Well, the other piece that's happening this year is we are doing our first ever public open enrollment course at The Outside. We've been in business now about 6 years as The Outside. And I think, you know, Tuesday and I came from a history of doing a lot of open enrollment courses and inviting people to come. But really, The Outside's been very, very focused on working with close partners to support work happening on the ground over the last 6 years. And we are opening up what we're calling it, an inaugural art of hosting. And essentially what that is it's kind of like standing on the shoulders of the global art of hosting community. And this is really about training people in how to host, lead, facilitate, capture the outcomes of and support the long-term impacts of a kind of participatory leadership. And all that means is a type of leadership that engages those who are most impacted by the decisions that affect them, you know. And of course, it's not just about participating out with people in the world. It's about participating with yourself, but also up and down the various kind of organizational hierarchies and social hierarchies. We all have to manage to get work done. So it's exciting. We've got a maximum of 60 spots. Again, we've already got signups before we went public, which was really exciting. We had some people kind of get in touch with us when we just mentioned it, wanting to secure spots. So, and that's going to be in Nova Scotia, July 17th and 19th. Go check it out. It's an art of hosting with The Outside, and it's going to be myself and Tuesday on the team alongside Jean-Paul, who in many ways holds the expertise of organizational development in our world and has been building something really, really strong capacity around biomimicry as it relates to organizational development, which is looking at how nature organizes as an inspiration for how we might organize within our own institutions and places of work and community endeavors. And then, of course, we've got the incredible Gabrielle Donnelly with us, Dr. Gabrielle Donnelly, Professor Gabrielle Donnelly, who's really a scholar practitioner in the field of innovation, in the field of developmental evaluation, is a researcher in her own right, is a writer in her own right, and of course a top end facilitator as well. So the four of us are going to be leading the workshop, and we would love to see you, podcast listeners, like, you know, out of your ears into a room. Let's do it.
That's right. And if you've not been in Nova Scotia, it is worth coming. Just to kind of say, right?
It's a nice location. We're doing it too.
Absolutely. I just feel like that's also part of the draw to be in this beautiful place in the summer.
Yeah, it'd be nice, eh? And there's like paddle boarding and there's like boats and like little cottages and pools and a spa nearby. And then also, just in case anyone is at the Oak Island Resort, and for those who follow the TV program, yes, that is the resort, which is right by where the pirate treasure is hidden. This TV program is in like its like 15 millionth season. And they keep unearthing new things on this island, you know, Vikings and other things. Whoa. I don't follow it, but the guys who run the show come down the pub in my village. And so we see them and have a chat with them every now and then up at the bar.
Oh, so we might find some treasure. Yeah. That's exciting. I mean,
exactly. We could use it as a metaphor for the whole program.
I like it.
Maybe.
But wait, this isn't the place with the bunnies.
No, that's White Point.
Okay, got it. All right, great. Yeah. All right. Okay. So Navigating Transformation, the cohort, the Art of Hosting in July, all of that can be found on our website. Come sign up, join us. It's like just a chance to be together. But Tim, we are, as we turn into the new year, we are shifting from our Changing Community series into our Changing Planet series. Now, this whole year has been around spirit in the work. And we started off with kind of like the spirit of community, changing community. And we had a number of guests that were just phenomenal. I'm just going to name them so you keep them on top of your radar. We had Caitlin Frost and Chris Corgan. We had Deanna James from the St. Croix Foundation. We had Tim and Francis from Mahone Bay United. We talked to David Stevenson from the, what's the name of his campaign? Moosehide Campaign. And we talked to Manish Jain. These were stellar guests.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable.
Where do we even start with these changing community folks? What's on the top of your mind? Are you thinking about after we interviewed them?
First of all, I really enjoyed the range of conversations that we went through. David Stevenson's stuck with me for lots and lots of reasons. I can't even, there was something about the kind of the lens he held, how he turned up, the fact that the next night I went out to a restaurant and they had a Moosehide campaign on the menu. And I was just like, what? This is crazy. So it just like, there was all that synchronicity going on around it. I really enjoyed having Manish on the on the pod. It's like a really old friend and hearing where they're at. You know, I struggled with some of the broad statements he would make around North America. You know, because it's just not my experience of North America's some of the kind of broad statements, but they may be broadly true. I don't know, but it hasn't been my reality. But his work in Udaipur and kind of around unlearning and in, just across India in general is, I mean, it's just remarkable, isn't it? The quality of what people are doing and so much of the news, you just think, oh, really? COP28, we can't even agree on phasing out. We have to, I mean, transitioning away. I mean, it's just like, dude. We don't get snow anymore. Come on. 20 years ago, I was cross-country skis and snowshoes. Now it's welly boots. That's winter gear. Like, shit's changing. Come on.
Right.
You know, so I just think it's wonderful to be able to hear these stories, you know, from Deanna and David and Manish of this real grassroots change. And then Chris's stories around the soccer club as well, of course, connect to me. But amazing. You know, all these ways that we're building community with each other to become more resilient for what is, it's going to be an inevitably rough ride, folks. Like, we're in a circumstance now where things are changing, but within that, there's so much positivity, actually. Within that, there's so much hope I take from engaging with these people.
That's what I was actually thinking as I kind of looked at this list of people that we talked with. Certainly just like really different experiences, different things they were doing in the world. Like it just really, really broad. But what I can say, what seemed to be true is none of them were interested in kind of judging their neighbor.
No.
So it was like discernment on what to do and how to be in community, but without like the judgment that seems so prevalent right now, where it's like, I was actually just in a meeting where someone kind of had been judged and kind of like thrown out of a group for having a meeting with someone else who, you know, like would be considered an enemy, right? You know, and I was just thinking about like, Yeo and Aaron, there's nobody, we can't throw anyone away, right?
Yeah.
And so I just was struck by these folks. Like there was no one to be thrown away. even Deanna, who was feeling like she was pulling back, right, into her community from being kind of brought her out, there wasn't a huge amount of judgment of other people. It was just like a discernment of where she needed to be. And so there's something I feel like in this Changing Community series, like you and Francis talking about having to stay in community, right? Mm. And it's not, I mean, like, I'm sure some of this is staying in community, like even beyond our judgments. But what I was struck by with like so many people, and again, David Stevenson was a great example of this. Like he was no interested in judging men and boys who had been violent, right? He was interested in stopping violence, right? And so like that movement from Manish going into prisons, which I loved, he was talking about, I came in so judgmental. Oh. And it was so funny because I assumed he meant judgmental against the prisoners. He actually meant against the guards, you know? But even then, he wasn't interested in judging them. And so there's something I think that feels true across all of these Changing Community interviews that was like, where actually are we placing our judgment and discernment? And if I were to listen to these folks, the judgment wasn't against individual people and their behavior, although obviously nobody was saying anything you do, everything you do is okay. But it was like judging where to take action, discerning where my efforts are best placed rather than who and how they're acting. Does that land for you?
Yeah, no, it really does. It really does. And it's important it lands for me, you know, because, you know, just in my own community organizing, it's easy for me to fall into the trap of being frustrated with the way things are and the way they're being done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's easy just to be like, oh, for F's sake, you know, like, really, that's how we're responding or that's what we're doing or do you know what I mean? It's so easy to get lost in the kind of irritation at the status quo. And like how energy sapping that is.
Yeah.
How energy sapping that is, you know. And then finding yourself in a polarity with somebody, which you suddenly have to take a stand for.
Right.
Suddenly then you, as soon as you're annoyed with their position, you have to suddenly start defending yours.
Right, right.
It's funny you raise that as the issue because I've just been thinking about that. Like even in the local soccer world and the soccer community where, you know, I can easily fall into how much I dislike how soccer is being delivered somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then I can make those people the enemy.
Right.
And right. I can talk about it in a way where they become the enemy to other people.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think that's really different. You know, it's a really different focus to then to come back and say, actually, this is actually about me focusing on what I can do. Mm-hmm. It's not in judgment of somebody else. It's not in reaction to somebody else. It's actually an identification of where I feel I can be most helpful.
Yeah.
And I'm going to move in that direction and be as loving and kind as I can as I move in that direction. What's the word? Inexorably in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me, as you say that, Tim, like it kind of sounds subtle or like a nuance, but I just believe after talking to these people that actually might be how we make change. You know what I mean? Like it's like not in opposition, not like saying, no, I'm not that. And of course, we've talked about 76 right ways of making change. Like there's room for opposition. But like for me, for you, for these folks, it felt like new action might actually be found when we're not doing it in opposition, when we're actually moving from what is ours to do rather than counteracting, countermanding, being in opposition of, you know, like they always say, you know, like there's actually a psychological disorder, right, that they give kids called oppositional defiant, right? And it's characterized, really? Yeah, and it's characterized by like they're just opposite, like it's like you say left, they say right. Right. You know, you say black, they say white. You say, you know, it's characterized.
Well, I can diagnose my kids with that right now, mate. There we go. It's done.
And actually, I guess, to be fair, I haven't been a therapist for a lot of years. Maybe it's not a disorder anymore, but it used to be. How about that? But and you know, like the secret about that disorder, if we wanted to say that, is it's actually still being controlled by the other.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Because your reaction is constantly to something external. Like exactly. The new year, like the turning of the new year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, right? It's not about you and what you want to do. It's just not them. And so with kids who are often really rebelling against being controlled, they're still being controlled. They're just acting in the opposite. So just like, it just feels like a real, what could sound subtle, but I think is actually probably pretty radical, of not being in opposition. Not like, that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to do what's mine to do.
Right. Right. Very different than activism.
Very different. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to, you know, that Buckminster Fuller quote, just because I said it on the call with Manish, that you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the old one obsolete, you know. It's that kind of momentum, isn't it? It's that, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think what feels good to me about the people we met with, Chris, Caitlin, Deanna James, Manish, you and Francis, David Stevenson, you can follow that admonition to like not fight the old system, to create the new system, and still understand how the old system is impacting, right? Because yeah, sometimes that
you have to.
Yeah, sometimes that quote can just be like, just make it obsolete, right? Yeah. As if it's just going to go away.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like I love the aspiration of that quote. And sometimes I can feel the ungroundedness of it in mm-hmm. that we're not actually just like creating a new system fresh from whole cloth. Like it's composted right. from the past system, right? And so like everyone we interviewed, I can trust that they actually understand
yeah.
the through line
yeah.
and that, you know, what yeah. we're doing in creating this new system is not simply making the old obsolete, but trying to reckon with the old system as we yeah. create the new system.
Well, I loved it. I mean, you chose the language composting deliberately. I mean, that was the language Manish used on the call with us, right? And I think that's bang on. Like, yeah. I mean, if you don't understand the dominant current system, how on earth can you compost it? How on earth can you take the value out of it and rework it, mm-hmm. you know, so it serves the people we're seeking to serve? All right, look. So we're going into a new series, Changing Planet. So we move out of Changing Community into Changing Planet. The kickoff is going to be Zahid Hassan, who we've got coming back. Again, he's releasing a new book.
I know.
So you're going to get to hear about it on this pod. It's very exciting. And so he's going to get to talk about that. And we get to dive in with him again, don't we?
We do. And what I liked about, I mean, like, I don't at this very moment remember the exact title of his book, but it's like Changing the World and It's Not That Hard.
Yeah.
And I just, and I was yeah. like, great. I mean, like, this is a dude that has big ambitions, which I think that many of us can resonate with, right? So whether it is a soccer club in your community, or I'm thinking Deanna James talking about the foundation that's in her community, I have no doubt that these folks, it is a continuum. You want to see the world change. And we're just going to talk yeah. with folks who are like, how do we make the world change? Zahid being one of the first people that we're talking about. But we're talking about folks who are thinking on that scale. Although I think we'll find, as we found with the Changing Community folks, there's so much intersection overlap. It's a bit of a false separation, but we really are going to turn the corner to talking with people who are thinking on large scale.
Yeah. And we get Brett Kincann coming in. Mm-hmm. That's going to be amazing. I've been working with him now nearly 2 years, and the scale and scope of his thinking on a national level across the United States in the face of incredible opposition, but also massive opportunity because of the distribution of wealth under the Biden administration. And then, you know, how do we really get these things from local organizers, you know, up to being able to have a national impact? I mean, absolutely, a remarkable, remarkable leader, both in the depth of his own practice and relationship to nature, but what he's kind of like on the way to achieving on a national level, you know, the strategy right. that has accompanied this deep personal practice. And yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that one.
So we've got Zahid, we've got Brett, we're going to talk with Crystal Schulten from Rios, Brazil.
Oh my gosh, right? That's so cool. Uh-huh. That's true. I love Crystal.
Yeah, so we're going to talk with them about work they've been doing in the fashion industry in Brazil. Like, you know, having been to South America recently for the first time in my life and kind of understand, I mean, you know, like, look, I'm an American. Our geography is like really poor. But I did not really truly to understand the size of a country like Brazil
yeah.
and the impact they can have on a continent.
Yeah.
Right. And then therefore huge. The world. It's just it's kind of bacon my noodle. Right. Like yeah. they can. So we'll talk with Crystal about some of what they're doing down there. And so, again, these are folks who are ambitious and audacious at the scale. But all of them will be able to talk about what it looks like scaled down and the interpersonal work that it will take to like kind of make that kind of change. So I'm really looking forward to it. I love that we're scaling that we're scaling across on this particular series and season.
Yeah, it's fun. I am really looking forward to it. So, folks, lots of juicy stuff on the menu. It's all coming down the Ethernet pipeline into your ears, you know, and we look forward to sharing it with you. Welcome into 2024. It's going to be a good year.
It is going to be a great year.
Let's do it.
That's right. And sign up. Sign up for our offerings. We'd love to see you in person.
Oh, that would be so nice.
Yeah.
Take care, folks. See you soon.
Thanks.